All right, everyone. We're already a minute behind. We have quite a bit to go through today. I have the pleasure of introducing you to Julie. She is from my home state of Texas. There we go. We got two Texans up here. She's been living in France, though, since 2007. Her background is in linguistics and philosophy and language, in particular, the formation of models in discourse and dialogue. Hey, everyone. Thank you. I start talking, you stop talking. Everyone, welcome Julie.
Thank you. Okay. All right, can you hear me? Yes, that should be working. Okay, so as Michelle said, there has been a lot of momentum for going towards open source language models, and it started with the Waits models. So you guys probably, or might have heard of the Llama models from Meta. There are also the MPT models from Mosaic ML, the Falcon models from the Technology Innovation Institute. And these open weights models are very helpful because they give an organization at least the possibility of deploying models on their own infrastructures, if they, of course, have all the right hardware. They also allow for the possibility of fine-tuning and customizing a model for a downstream use case. But unfortunately, if they don't give us the ingredients that they use to make the model, so the data, and they don't give us the recipe, so the code, we have to do a lot of guesswork to try to reverse engineer why a model works the way it does. And this can be a very big deal, explainability for certain use cases, as William discussed in his talk. It can be quite serious. So we need to understand, we need to be able to at least ask, why does a model give us the results that it does? Fortunately, there are also a lot of active players in the effort to push open data, at least shareable data. So Eleuthera AI brought us the pile. Together AI got us a data set called Red Pajama. And Big Science shared their data set, Roots, which was used to train their Bloom language model. And what you start to see now, there are new language models coming out every single day, quite literally. And you're starting to see is that a lot of them are trained on the same data that you can find on Hugging Face, which is very convenient. You have a lot of web crawl data, so Common Crawl and C4. You have academic papers from Archive. You have Wikipedia, which is Wikipedia. You have the Q&A threads from Stack Exchange. Books from the Gutenberg Project, code from the stack, just taken from GitHub, and so on. But what you start to see is that this data is, if you look at the numbers of tokens, it comes mostly from the web data, and then you'll also start to notice that it's mostly English. So why might you be concerned about this? Well, web data can, of course, contain personal information. It contains toxic content. This has been a very big issue in releasing and retraining and fine-tuning language models, trying to get them to not be too insulting. We don't, of course, have control over the quality. Anything can be found on the web. So a huge effort has been made to try to clean up some of this data. So there are sets like the Oscar, coming from the Oscar project, the Refine Web data set from the Falcon models, or Cultura X. They've been trying to clean this data as much as possible, but of course, it's still web data. The English question is an important one, and it's important to note that this is not just about choice. Most of the available data just is in English. So it takes a lot of effort. It's going to take a lot of effort to create new data sets in other languages. And as Michelle pointed out, the point isn't just about being able to train a model to speak the language, but it's also about being able to train the model to kind of represent the culture well. So here's an example I like to share from the language model Mistral, which was actually made in France. But we asked it how to make a bœuf bourguignon. So what you see at the top before the dotted line is the prompt. That's what we asked the model. So how do you make the bœuf bourguignon? But in French. It started in French, said, well, in French, it says to start by using a good wine. But then it switches to English. And then it goes on to cite Julia Child, who is famous in the States for having introduced Americans to French cuisine. But we would hope that French people using a language model in France would be able to get an answer that was appropriate for France, especially if it's about a recipe that was created in France. So this is the problem we're trying to deal with. So our first objective when we made Claire was to create a French data set that was traceable in the sense of we knew where the licenses came from. So we knew that people had either explicitly shared the data for scientific research or that it was in the public domain. And then we wanted to use it to, as a first step, fine-tune an open weights model, because we knew we'd have a very small data set and we wanted to know already what the impact would be. The use case that we took was one of spoken dialogue, because it's important for a lot of downstream tasks. If you want to make a chatbot that can engage in natural conversation, or if you want to train a model for conversation or meeting summarization, you want your model to be able to represent the complex dynamics that we see in spoken dialogue, not just in normal text data. So we did, it was actually quite a lot of effort to collect our 140 million words of French. We got parliamentary discussions from the French National Assembly. We got a lot of theater plays that were in open access. We had some homegrown corpora from Linagora. And there's also a site in France, a platform in France that is wonderful, and I wish that every country had one of these, or every linguistic community had one of these. It's a platform that was created to openly share data, and so we were able to get a lot of data sets from there, but they were often small. They had a lot of different formats. There was a lot of manual cleaning and formatting that had to go into creating this data set. But we are pretty proud of it. And if you want more detail on it, we do have a paper on archive that you can find there. In terms of sharing our data, we share it on Hugging Face, along with the three models that we trained. So we have two with a Creative Commons license that's for non-commercial use, because we tried to be as respectful as possible to the original data sets. We also have an Apache 2 model that's trained on a little bit less data. For our code, you can find it on GitHub. And just for a quick evaluation, as Michelle said, our model is quite funny. Between the theater data and the natural spoken data, it gives quite creative conversations, and we were able basically to create a kind of chat model without any kind of special chat training, which was cool. Another thing we were able to see was a huge improvement for Mistral. So we fine-tuned Mistral. So Mistral loved to give back English, but it also loved to give us back various kinds of code and formatting. So here is a bunch of LaTeX commands. So that was a problem in the beginning. After our fine-tuning, so actually the red bar on the right is the times that Mistral stuck to French, actually stayed speaking French. It was only about half the time before our fine-tuning. The orange bar is after fine-tuning. That's in all 80 cases that we tested, the model stuck to French. So that was pretty cool. We can't say why, though, because Mistral didn't give us data sets. So it's all just guesswork. And that's the kind of sad side of not sharing your data. As Michelle said, we are now starting to train Lucy, a new model where we're going to try to emphasize having an even mixture of French and English. But I want to highlight some of the difficulties that we're having. We're getting our data from the archives of the French National Library, Wikipedia, of course, which is very clean, academic publications, which have been uploaded as PDFs, and parliamentary and public addresses. So most of this stuff is coming from PDFs, which leaves us, of course, having to use optical character recognition to convert them to text. So I want to give you a little example here of some of the worst output that we get. Fortunately, it's not all like this, but you know. So it's you know, we're obviously going to have to develop some very custom filtering mechanisms to have to get rid of some of this data so it doesn't start outputting that. Yes, that's what we're doing. And then I just wanted to point out that on Friday, and this is the stress of working in this field right now. I mean, literally on Friday, as I was writing this talk, two things happened. One in the morning, which was a entirely open source, well, the license part is still a bit tricky, but open in terms of at least of sharing their code and data came out from the Allen Institute on Monday morning called OMO. In the afternoon, Croissant LLM was released, which was, it's an open model as well that emphasizes even a mixture of French and English tokens. But they do still use a lot of web data. If you want a lot of data, it's hard to avoid the web. And finally, there was a release of a part of the training data that we're using for Lucy on Hugging Face, the French PD newspapers. And so there's hope that I think a lot more fully open source models are on the way. And that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. We have time for one question.
So is the LLM model, is it program or data? The LLM, is it program or is it data? Process or process data?
It's a model. It's neither. Yeah. I would say neither. It's it's trained on the data, but it's not the data. Yeah. The data is its ingredients, if you will.